12. Luke chapter 12. What is the purpose of life? Luke chapter 12. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Also pray for Joel. Joel's not feeling well today, so remember him in prayer. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." It's kind of amusing, and yet it's not amusing. When we go out witnessing, we see so many yards filled with material junk. It's everywhere. We gather things. I don't know where we get all these things, but we get them, and they clutter our yards. And in many places, maybe I shouldn't say this. I was going to say, in many yards we come in, and there's no room in the garage for the vehicles because the garage is full of junk. Well, mine sometimes get about that situation. It's like I tried to build a garage a little extra big because I didn't want to have to build a shed. I didn't want to have to build a house and then turn right around and build a shed. And so I tried to make a garage bigger, but it doesn't help. Because all we do is we still get more junk. And it just tries to crowd the vehicles out as well. So a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things. For some of us, the junk that we possess. So what is the purpose of life? It's not for the pursuit of material things. You know, we in our country talk about the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. And many times, a lot of Americans attribute, maybe that's not the right word, but associate happiness with things. We looked at a vehicle probably a couple years ago at a dealer when we were looking for a car, and the man, and I don't know anything about this certain vehicle, maybe some of you do, but I guess there's a pickup truck called a Raptor that's very expensive, and so this was the used car side of the dealership, and so the man was telling me that. Because I was asking, we were looking at a van there, a used van, and I wanted to know who traded it in, what he traded it in for. And he said, the guy traded in this van and bought a Raptor, and I think he said it was $50,000. I don't know. A used truck for $50,000? Maybe I misunderstood him or didn't hear right, but I think that's what he said. And he says, I drove the truck, he said, as a demo salesman, get to drive a lot of the vehicles, you know. And he said, I didn't think it was that hot. He said, the only thing it's good for is for people to stare at you when you're driving it. $50,000 to pay, just to have people look at you when you go down the road? That doesn't sound like too good of a deal to me. So life is not for the pursuit of material things. Those things don't satisfy the longing of our hearts inside. It doesn't matter. You can get a nice vehicle. I remember I talked to one of my uncles once, many years ago. He came to church and he came in a Cadillac. I guess he had a pretty good job. And so I said, wow, nice car. And his only response to me was, it gets dirty like any other car. And you know what that tells me? He was driving a Cadillac, but it didn't even impress him. So what's the use of it? Look then, please, in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6 and verse 19. So, the purpose of life is not for the pursuit of material things, because material things really do not satisfy. They quickly grow old. We quickly get tired of looking at those things. And secondly, because material things, generally speaking, don't last very long. In Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where what? Moth and rust doth corrupt, and where what? Thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. Material things, generally speaking, don't last very long. Recently, our refrigerator went on the blink, and so I told you about ordering some parts, and the part finally came in, and I got the new part on there, and it just purred just fine for about a week. And then it started making the same sound. So I did more research, did some calling around to appliance repair, and so it needed a new compressor. And so they're given figures like $900, $1,000 or plus. And so they said, at that point, usually people just go buy a new refrigerator. And so refrigerators are not necessarily easy to find right now, I think partly because of the COVID thing. And so, but I found a refrigerator. And just as a reminder that things don't last too long, to me, this refrigerator sounds like a car that needs a muffler. It has a rumble to it. I've never had a refrigerator that has a rumble to it, but this one does. And so I'm reminded that material things don't last too long, and I'm not placing a lot of stock in this refrigerator to last too long. So the purpose of life is not for material things. Secondly, it's not for the pursuit of fleshly pleasures. You know, there are some foods that taste really good, and we could take a survey, and there'd be certain foods that you'd love to have right now. Maybe you're hungry. But how many bites of your favorite food can you handle before you get overwhelmed? Notice with me in Proverbs 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Some years ago, I preached a message on how the Bible prophesied that Jesus would eat butter and honey, and how butter and honey gives wisdom. It must help our physical minds, that combination. And so then I had some of you parents comment on after that, like, wow, you know, honey's expensive. You know, having to get a lot of honey. Young people took that to heart. But Proverbs 25:16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is what? Sufficient for thee. Lest thou be what? Filled therewith and what? That's not a good picture, is it? No. So honey may taste good, but you only handle so much and then it's overwhelming. So even something that's really pleasurable to eat can't have too much. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel got to lusting for meat. And so they got complaining to God, and so God gave them meat. Enough meat to eat where they got sick. And some of them got the plague and died from it. So physical pleasures. You know, every physical pleasure was created by God, but every physical pleasure is short-lived. And it just reminds us that in life, God has created some very pleasurable things in life. But even those things, we're not to seek those things, are we? He is to be our highest pleasure. Notice in Hebrews 11, Moses found this out. He talked about being able to live a pleasurable life. He had it, being the son, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. In Hebrews 11, verse 25, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction. So Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? the pleasures of sin for what? A season. So even Moses learned this. He had the money, he had the power, he had the prestige. He could have anything he wanted basically in Egypt. And he said no to that. He saw that every pleasure is only for a season, it's short-lived. And he decided he'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, I'm afraid we're at the crossroads in America right now with this very thing. You know, I think there's a lot of Christians that are really discouraged by the way the election went and by all these executive orders being signed now here going against the Bible. But how many Christians in America are trying to live a Christianity that's all pleasure oriented? You know, the music, the pounding beat, you know, the dancing, the drinking. I just read again in the last couple of weeks how, I forget what it's called. I think it's something like hip-hop. You know, hip-hop was an old, like, rock and roll style, worldly music, dance music. And some of these churches have done a play on words. Hip-hop. The hops are, they're making alcohol. They're making their own craft beers with hops. And so these churches are gathering, and the gathering has really grown. I think it said it's like over 1,000, and I don't know what area of our country it's in, but that's the type of Christianity we have. And so it's a Christianity in name, but denying the power thereof, the power of a changed life. So that's kind of where we're at today. But so what is the purpose of life? Number one, it is not for the pursuit of material things. Number two, it is not for the pursuit of fleshly pleasures. And number three, the purpose of life is for the pleasure of God. Notice in Revelation chapter 4, and verse 11. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for what? Thy pleasure they are and were created." Well, I know there's a lot of people in this world would say, "Well, wow, you serve a selfish God. He created everything for his own pleasure." The fact of the matter is that when we get that down in our hearts that we were created for his pleasure, and when we set out for the pursuit of pleasing God, that's when we really begin to enjoy life ourselves with no regrets, pursuing God's pleasure. Well, what can we do that would bring God pleasure? 1 Chronicles 29. What can we do that would ever bring God pleasure? How many of you have ever had to buy a Christmas present for someone and you thought or said or both, what do I buy this person? This person has everything. You ever been there? Yeah. You know, it's like, what do you buy them? Okay, let's think of that right now. What can we do for God that would bring him pleasure? Just stop and think about that. We are so frail. We're so helpless. When you think about God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, do we? No, we don't own 1,000 hills, let alone cattle on 1,000 hills, let alone even one cow. What can we possibly do that would please him? He has everything. He knows everything. He has all power. He has no need in that sense. 1 Chronicles 29:17. What can we do? I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in what?
Uprightness.
Uprightness. As for me, in what? The uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with what? With joy thy people, which are present here to what? Offer willingly unto thee. You see, that's where the joy comes. He saw the joy. He saw the joy. Why? Because he saw people that were willing to offer what they had to the Lord. So, number one, what brings God pleasure? When we have uprightness of heart, and when we have uprightness of heart, we are willing to give all to the Lord, ourselves, and whatever we have. We're just stewards. The Bible talks about stewardship, and a steward is one who cares for the things of another. A steward doesn't own his own things. He's just the caretaker of someone else's things. Sometimes you might talk to someone in a store or a business and say, "Do you own this business?" And they'll say, "No. I'm just an employee. I just work for somebody else." So the context of this is gathering things for the temple. You look back in verse 12. 1 Chronicles 29:12. It says, "Both riches and honor come what? Of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." We were just talking about those things. He has them all. Verse 13, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so what? Willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." There was a lady who called in this week, and she wanted some Bible reading schedules. And she wanted to know if 25 was too many. I said, "No, we'll be happy. We've sent them before." And she said this. She says, "I know they're free, but I want to send a gift." And she said, She just wanted to make sure that, you know, it was okay to order that many. And then she said this. She said, "For 17 years, my husband and I have used these Bible reading schedules." And she says, "I have people asking me for them, and so I want to have extras to give them." And she said, "Now we've got our grandchildren using them, reading through the Bible." I tell you, that was more than any check she might send in right there. Just to hear her say that. And that's what we're talking about here is, you know what, there is nothing that brings more joy than to willingly give to the Lord and then to hear the joy as that was from that woman. So what brings God pleasure? Number one, uprightness of heart. Number two, the fear of God. Notice with me in Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 10. Psalm 147, 10. The Bible says, "He delighteth not in the strength of the horse." There's a lot of people that bet a lot of money on the strength of a horse. I mean, they have racetracks dedicated to that. "But God delighteth not in the strength of a horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man." There are people that bet on people's sporting competitions. A lot of betting goes on. But God doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. God doesn't take pleasure that a man can run the 40-yard dash and, I don't know, what do they do it? 3-point-some seconds? I don't know. They're quick. But it doesn't impress God. So the strength of the horse doesn't impress him. The strength of the legs, a man's legs doesn't impress him. He doesn't take pleasure in those. Verse 11, "The Lord taketh what? Pleasure in them that what? Fear him. And who? And those that hope in his mercy." So I don't have a horse. When I was a boy, I always wanted a horse. I'm not sure why. I think I've only ridden one horse in my life. And I was invited over to a birthday party for one of my schoolmates. And there were three of us, little guys, on his horse. And I guess that horse didn't like three little boys on his back. And he took us over to a fence and deposited us off his back. So I don't know why I always wanted a horse, but that was my experience with a horse. The fear of God, that's what takes the Lord takes pleasure in. Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. And we have to remind ourselves what the fear of the Lord is, because a lot of people used to talk about that. They get in the Muslim mode. Muslim people fear Allah. You talk to a Muslim and their God, little g, is not one who loves people. He is a strict, hard taskmaster. So we have to remind ourselves and others of what the Bible means by the fear of the Lord. And it's found in Proverbs 8:13. Whenever we can, it's best to define biblical terms with Scripture. And of course, there's not always a particular verse that just defines every word. But in this case, this term, fear of the Lord, there is a verse that defines it. It's Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. That's the fear of the Lord. To hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and it gives us some examples there. So, what can we do to bring God pleasure? Number one, we can have uprightness of heart. Number two, we can have the fear of God. Number three, we can have repentance toward God. Repentance toward God. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. You know, we are a lot like Adam and Eve in that we don't naturally want to admit our sin. We naturally want to push it off on somebody else. Like, well, I may have done something, but I only did it because this person did it. You know, something else first. That's really not confession. It's really not repentance. Ezekiel 18:23. God says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should what?
Return
from his ways and what?
Live.
That's God's desire. He doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. Notice in verse 31, Ezekiel 18:31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have what?
No pleasure
in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, what?
Turn yourselves
and live ye. So that's repentance. God takes pleasure when mankind repents. Notice in Acts 20 and verse 20. And you know, we should do the same thing. You know, we are all in a difficult position now. We have leaders that do not seem too intent on following the Word of God. And so, you know, we're going to have that temptation to want to call down fire from heaven when really what really should be our heart's desire is to just plead with God to transform these people's lives. You know, we don't have to wait another 4 years for a change. You know what? There could be a change today in those people's hearts. That should be our prayer, is that those people in their hearts would experience repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 20, verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, what?
Repentance
toward God and what? Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So life, what is it about? Well, life and what brings God pleasure is uprightness of heart, the fear of God, and repentance toward God. Let's go then to Ephesians chapter 1. So as we pursue this, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So life is for the pursuit of God, and we need to pursue the wisdom of God. Pastor Jeremy talked about the highly educated in this world. You know, so many times the highly educated in this world, and in fact, we can go to 1 Corinthians. You know, so many times they get filled with the knowledge of the world, and then they're suddenly too smart for God. That is, they don't believe in him. And in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after what? Wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is what? Wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so we think about the wisdom of this world. And back in Ephesians 1:17, once again, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what we should pursue right here, isn't it? This wisdom. This is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, it's the word of God, is what we need to pursue. The word pursue means to find or employ measures to obtain or to accomplish, to seek. So we need to seek the true wisdom, the wisdom that is going to last. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So when we seek God's wisdom, that is what brings pleasure to God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be what? Given you. Seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be what? Open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. How can we please God? He has everything. We can seek the wisdom in his word. Notice with me in Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, 17. And the time to seek is early. Proverbs 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that what? Seek me early shall find me. And if you go back to verse 1, we're talking about God's wisdom. 8:1 says, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? So we need to seek God early and seek his wisdom. Notice in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29:11. That's why I'm trying to get the scripture reading where we can download it, listen to it. I began also to do some memory verses online, just repeating one verse and the reference, saying the verse and the reference, the verse, the reference, 10 times. And I'm thinking, you know what? You're driving down the road, and at least with me, sometimes I have 3x5 cards, you know, to memorize scripture. And one of my teachers one time said, well, I used to do that, he says, until I got in an accident, so I don't do that anymore. So we're supposed to concentrate on the road, so that's what I'm thinking. You know what? So it's a good way to practice memory verses. It's just good to have them on your phone or some other listening device where you can just hear the scripture repeated without having to keep looking down at a card, or maybe you've tried the open your Bible thing on your steering wheel. We won't ask for any raising of hands, so I don't have to raise my hand. No. So I just thought it'd be a lot easier to have it on a listening device to make driving time profitable. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11. The Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall what? Seek me, and what? Find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Will we do that today? Will we do that this week? Will we seek him with all of our hearts? That will bring pleasure to God, and it will bring joy and pleasure to us when we seek him with all of our hearts. If there's any here this morning who have never yet been saved, Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God. He's God Almighty in the flesh. He was born of a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect life, and then he died on the cross, bearing my sin and your sin in his own body on the tree. He was buried, rose again victorious, proving that his blood was enough to pay for all of our sins. The grave could not hold him, and he ever lives. And today he's waiting for people to call upon him in repentance and faith, like we read, turning from their sin to him. We can't clean ourselves up, but we must be willing to turn from that to him, and he will do the cleansing. He will do the saving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that indeed we would pursue you. I pray that we would yield our hearts to you, that we would be upright in heart. I pray, Lord, that we would have the fear of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would seek the wisdom that only comes from you. I pray that you would find pleasure in our lives. And we thank you for the joy that you give to us when we truly seek you first. So please work in our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.